This is Fresh Air. I'm David Biancooley, in for Terry Gross. We're determined to end the year laughing. So we're continuing our holiday week series of some of our most entertaining interviews of the year with a duo behind the Comedy Central series Key and Peele, Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele. A lot of their comedy is about race. Perhaps because they're biracial, they're perfectly comfortable satirizing white people and African Americans, as well as satirizing everybody else. Both Key and Peele have a white mother and a black father. The New Yorker's TV critic, Emily Nussbaum, described their biracialism as a golden ticket to themes rarely explored on television. Key and Peele met when they were part of the improv scene. They worked together on the sketch comedy series Mad TV. Terry spoke with Key and Peele last month and started by playing what may be their most famous sketch, which went viral on the internet. It introduced the character of Luther, President Obama's anger translator.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. Now, before I begin, I just want to say that I know a lot of people out there seem to think that I don't get angry. That's just not true. I get angry a lot. It's just that the way I express passion is different from most. So, just so there's no more confusion, we've hired Luther here to be my anger translator. Luther?
Hi.
First off, concerning the recent developments in the Middle Eastern region, I just want to reiterate our unflinching support for all people and their right to a democratic process.
Hey, all y'all dictators out there, keep messing around and see what happens. Just see what happens. Watch!
Also, to the governments of Iran and North Korea, we once again urge you to discontinue your uranium enrichment program.
Hey, Mahmoud, Kim Jong, I think I already done told both y'all, 86 your I'm gonna come over there and do it for y'all. Please test me and see what happens.
On the domestic front, I just want to say to my critics, I hear your voices and I'm aware of your concerns.
So maybe if you can chill the hell out for like a second, then maybe I can focus on some you know?
That goes for everybody. Including members of the Tea Party.
Oh, don't even get me started on these motherfuckers right here.
I want to assure you that we will be looking for new compromises with the GOP in the months ahead.
And you know these motherfuckers won't say no before I even suggest some
Now, I know that a lot of folks say that I haven't done a good job at communicating my accomplishments to the public.
Because y'all motherfuckers don't listen!
Since being in office, we've created 3 million new jobs.
3 million new jobs.
We ended the war in Iraq.
Ended a war, y'all. We ended a war. Remember that?
These achievements should serve as a reminder that I am on your side.
I am not a Muslim.
And that my intentions as your president are coming from the right place.
They're coming from Hawaii, which is where I'm from, which is in the United States of America, y'all. Okay? This is ridiculous. I have a birth certificate. I have a birth certificate. I have a hot, diggity, doggity, mama say, mama samu, makusa birth certificate, you dumbass crackers.
Okay. So, Luther, rope it in.
You dial it back, Luther, damn.
Keegan-Michael Key, Jordan Peele, welcome to Fresh Air. Thank you so much for being here. So let's start with the sketch that we just heard. How did you come up with the idea for the Obama anger translator?
Well, we knew we wanted to do something with Obama because we actually felt that Obama was kind of responsible for us even getting a show in the first place, because there's this biracial person who might, you know, have to ride the divide between two different races. And we weren't sure exactly how we wanted to do it, but we kind of went through a bunch of ideas and then we decided. Jordan has a really amazing Obama impersonation.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
And we know we're frustrated when a person like Joe Wilson had screamed during that State of the Union address when he was like, you lie to the president. And we were like, the president can't react the way millions of Americans right now are going, oh, God, he can't say anything. He can't rail at this man. He can't get upset. What if we had a surrogate who could get upset for him? And that was that was the embryonic stage of creating Luther, so that he'd have somebody who could translate him when he's having like an internal fit of pique, but could do it externally for him.
This was also in the peak of the birther movement and things like that. So there were all these little issues that we felt were going unaddressed by Obama, because I think, you know, the way we've described it before is that he couldn't come off like an angry black man. especially early on. So, you know, this what Luther says kind of are things that ring true to us, and we felt like it was giving the truth a voice in a lot of ways.
Right. Yeah.
So you use some obscenities in your sketches, and you're on Comedy Central, as is The Colbert Report and The Daily Show, and they bleep those words on their show. So how come you can say them and they can't?
Gosh, I feel like we are bleeped.
Oh, you
like
know what? I've heard some of it on the internet, so maybe you're not bleeped.
That's
on
what
the
it
internet.
Is, Terry. Yeah, yeah. We definitely get bleeped on the
I've heard some of it
air.
On TV and then catch up on the internet, so I bet that's it.
There have been a couple of episodes, I know at least one in the first season, where we got a TVMA rating, so we could get away with saying some things that, we felt like were essential to get the joke.
Yeah, I like sometimes we talk to the network and we're like, guys, in this particular episode, could we get a penis dispensation so we can say this word, so we can say that word or this word?
I think if we had our druthers, we would be unbleeped every episode.
Yeah, every episode, every sketch, yeah.
But it, you know, we do find it very interesting. I mean, the network enjoys the edginess of their programming and of our show, but then there's these kind of sometimes feel, you know, what feels like silly guidelines that of certain words that you can't say. It's such a strange thing when you look at what the boundary of acceptable and not acceptable is on television. You know, we shoot people in the head in just about every episode.
Yeah. Yep. But,
you know, we can't get away with saying certain words.
Yeah.
Jordan, when you met President Obama, which I know you did you get some insights into how to perform him?
I would say so. Yeah, I think I walked out of there a little bit more confident with my impression, and I actually did it for him at one point. And he says, "You know, I'll do a pretty good me myself." He said something like that. But you know, he is a close talker. He's a touchy guy. Like he will.
He is a very tactile individual.
He will touch you on the shoulder, and you know, kind of, you know, in the so that big brother or father figure kind of way. And you really do feel sort of shepherded by him. He's very funny. So I think after meeting him, I was inclined to turn up the humor of him, that he has a sense of humor. And again, I think that is also something he, in the beginning of his presidency, he couldn't really explore and couldn't show. You know, he had to be almost a one-dimensional, stoic leader during that first election.
You're going to bring out the anger translator to talk about Obama's anger at the Obamacare website?
Well, yeah, I think we that may happen. We may we're planning. We're cooking something up right now to do for about the ACA. But as otherwise, I think Luther is. I mean, I think Luther is raring to go. He's like, who the hell? Come on, who doesn't want health care? Go ahead, break your leg then. You know what? Even better. I'm going to come over there and break your leg for you.
All right,
and then we'll see. Okay. Sorry, Luther, sir. I apologize, sir.
Keep it together.
People is crazy. Yep. People is stupid.
People is crazy.
And I'm
going to
say it right now. Mostly white people. Stupid.
All right. Well, let's,
young white man, 26. Get your act together.
Let's not make it racial. Let's not make anything racial.
That's fabulous.
Ever.
I apologize, sir. I apologize.
Oh, my guests are Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, and together they're Key and Peele that have their own sketch comedy show on Comedy Central. Let's take a short break here, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, and together they're Key and Peele, and they have a sketch comedy show on Comedy Central, which is called Key and Peele. A character you do, Keegan, that I really love is the substitute teacher. And this is this is a teacher who's taught in in an inner city school for like 20 years, and now he's teaching in like a middle class school that's like somewhere at approximately 100% white.
And, that's right.
I want to play the first of these sketches that you did with the substitute teacher. And then we'll talk about the character some more. But first, just like physically describe how you look in this sketch so we can get an image in our minds.
Well, I think what you're dealing with is a guy who has a real kind of military persona about him. He's very rigid and a little haggard, yet still aggressive. He's got a really his hairline is really far back. He's been balding probably since his 20s, and he has a very kind of tight, like this isn't the best way to describe it, like a high and tight kind of mustache. So he looks like he might have been in the army or something, or an MP. And he wears a short sleeve drab shirt and like a twill tie, and just looks all business. Like he's ready to rumble.
Okay, so this is the substitute teacher, performed by my guest Keegan-Michael Key.
All right, listen up, y'all. I'm y'all substitute teacher, Mr. Garvey. I taught school for 20 years in the inner city, so don't even think about messing with me. Y'all feel me? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a roll here. Jay Quellen. Where's Jay Quellen at? No Jay Quellen here? Yeah.
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay, so that's how it's gonna be. Y'all wanna play. Okay, then. I've got my eye on you, Jay Quellen. Balake. Where is Balake at? There's no Balake here today. Yes, sir.
My name's Blake.
Are you out of your damn mind?
Blake?
What? Do you want to go to war, Balake?
No.
Because we could go to war.
No.
I'm for real. I'm for real. So you better check yourself.
That's really great.
And I love it because Balake. He's got two different pronunciations.
Jordan, do you want to describe how you end the sketch?
And then, I believe Garvey says, Joe Nathan. And then,
is it Timothy?
It's Timothy.
Timothy.
Yes,
yeah,
yes, yeah. Yes. I mean, maybe at one point it was Joe Nathan.
It was Joe Nathan at one
but yes,
point, yeah.
He says, Timothy. And then, you know, the first black student we've seen sort of emerges from behind a white student. Present. And then it's over. It's a pretty absurd little piece of heightening.
We went back and forth on present too. We're like, should he say, is that too silly?
Is that too silly?
Is present too silly?
Nobody says present.
Nobody. But everybody knows. But we just decided to go with it anyway. We had here. Mm-hmm. Present and just good old fashioned present, but
somehow it works.
Somehow it works. Yeah.
So, when you were in school, were there a lot of students in your classes that had names that their parents had obviously creatively made up from scratch?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Keegan's from Detroit, and I'm from New York, and
so the answer to that question is yes.
Yeah. What were some of your real favorites, like the real names?
There were literally in my neighborhood, there were two kids. Now, this is kind of a urban legend. Jordan and I both know this legend. Everybody knows this legend in kind of African-American lore. There's always somebody in your neighborhood named Arangelo or Lamangelo. And that's spelled, Arangelo is spelled O-R-A-N-G-E-J-E-L-L-O. So, you know, that's, and then.
Right, which, I mean, if we really, you know, dig deep into it, you know, especially when talking about African-American culture,
sure.
It's got, you know, names have such a deep history, you know, just from having our names taken away in the first
right,
place.
Exactly,
sort of
right.
Renamed, and, you know, now, feels like 80% of African-American population has the name Washington or Jefferson or some president or slave owner's name. I almost wonder, is this part of a way of taking back the principle of naming your, I might be going too far into this, naming your kid something of your choice.
We were talking about your substitute teacher character, Keegan, and mm-hmm. I want to play another sketch with that substitute teacher, the guy who taught in an inner city school for 20 years and now is in a middle class, predominantly white school teaching as a substitute. And this sketch is really funny. It's the same group of students as we heard in the one where he's taking attendance and everybody has and he's mispronouncing everybody's names because he's used to unusual names. So this sketch starts with one of the students asking a question to the teacher.
Mr. Garvey.
What is it, Aaron?
Some of us need to leave a few minutes early today. Oh, is that so?
Mm-hmm.
And what, pray tell, is the reason for this premature exodus?
Yearbook photos. We have to leave 15 minutes early to meet up with our clubs.
All right, you know what? That might work with other substitute teachers, but I taught in the inner city for over 20 years. Now, y'all want to leave my class early so y'all can go meet up at the club. Ain't none of y'all old enough to go to the damn club! Ridiculous.
Mr. Garvey?
God, son of a bitch! Did I stutter?
Just then? Yes.
I'm gonna throw you out the damn window. What, Jay Quillen?
Mr. Garvey, we're telling the truth. We have clubs at this school. We have clubs for special interests.
Okay. What the hell club are you in, Jay Quillen?
Future Leaders of America.
Okay. How would you know if you're gonna be a leader in the future? Is there a stargate in your bedroom? Can you travel through time, Jay Quillen?
No.
Then sit the flip down.
That's Keegan-Michael Key as a substitute teacher. And Jordan Peele, do you want to explain how you end the sketch?
I believe Timothy raises his hand and Mr. Garvey says, well, you know, he calls on Timothy, you know, what club do you have to go? And Timothy says, yeah, I got to go pick up my daughter.
You're excused.
So I'm wondering, Keegan, did you model that on a teacher that you had?
Actually, he is modeled on a guidance counselor that I had in grade school. And I went to a predominantly black grade school, Catholic grade school in Detroit. And so that kind of aggression came from this particular guidance counselor. Because, you know, we had really fantastic kids at my school and super smart kids at my school and a lot of kind of roughhouse kids at my school. And he was, it's that same energy. And Jordan really honed in on this energy when the sketch was being written, which was the one thing that never leaves him is he's always ever vigilant. He's hyper vigilant about the misbehaving. And, you know, there's lots of perhaps social underpinnings as to why he believes every student behaves that way, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, he was based on this one guy who the attitude of him, the tone of him is based on this one guy.
You both have white mothers, African-American fathers. Was it ever an issue of like which group you're going to fit into, if you're going to identify with the white students or the black students, or were there groups within the schools you went to that were multiculturally enough that you didn't have to worry about like choosing a team?
Yeah, for me, I think the reason I went into theater ultimately was because that was one of those multicultural groups, because you identify with other people that share similar passions to you. So it didn't matter how much melanin was in their skin. It's just that clan is born out of love and passion, as opposed to born out of some sense of obligation to belong to a certain group. So for me, that's what salvaged my life, I think, in high school for the most part.
Yeah, it's such a loaded question, I think, for both of us. But I really do feel like growing up, you know, I was lucky enough to be in a great town and great schools that had a certain amount of diversity. And so, you know, this goes into our work. And I think both, you know, like Keegan was saying, I think the reason both of us became actors is because we did, you know, a fair amount of code switching growing up and still do. There is these identity questions. And, you know, all I can say is, My mother was very good in that she helped me feel like I was a special person. Like I, you know, I didn't need to go any farther than, you know, who I was and what I liked in order to find my identity. But, you know, yeah, clearly there has been, you know, a huge imprint that it's made on my personality and my art and my craft. And I think the most trying part of it is involves how I speak that's always been the part that I felt most insecure about.
What do you mean?
Is that the world has wanted me to speak differently than I speak. You know, I speak like my mom. I speak like, you know, like the whitest white dude. I speak like a deaf comedy jam comedian doing an impression of a white guy. That's how I've, you know, sort of grown up. And I even remember, you know, when I was a kid, every now and then you'd come upon somebody who would sort of question how I spoke and whether or not I was trying to be something I wasn't. It cannot be a coincidence that I decided to go into this career where my whole purpose is sort of altering the way I speak and experiencing these different characters. And I think maybe sort of proving in my soul that the way someone speaks has, you know, nothing to do with who they are. People have, you know, everybody has different accents. Everyone has different affectations. Everyone's still human. So, yeah, I've been very lucky to have a family who, you know, has welcomed me and not been hung up on anything racial, almost overlooking the fact that there was a racial difference. But I can honestly say I do feel like I missed out on some lessons from what the African-American experience is like growing up. My father passed away in 1999. I knew him up until about 6 years old. I mean, I could have used some advice from my dad of, you know, how to deal with somebody who's accusing you of being shady in a mm-hmm. store. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to hear those things.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, and together they're Key and Peele. Their sketch comedy show is on Comedy Central. Let's take a short break here, then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, and together they're Key and Peele. They have their own sketch comedy show on Comedy Central. Did both of you do a lot of, you know, characters or impressions when you first auditioned for Mad TV?
I did more characters. I mean, I had a lot of characters kind of in my bag from Second City.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were some characters that had been incubating at the Second City in Chicago. And so, you know, when you're at Second City Chicago, kind of the unspoken thing is everybody's kind of, you're doing your work and you're making your art and you're having a good time. And it's really a kind of a fertile time in your life. But there's that thing in the back of your head that's saying, boy, you know, SNL might come calling or Mad TV might come calling. And so you're kind of like, I would just kind of catalog characters that I liked performing and that also that audiences seem to enjoy.
Jordan, what's one of the characters you developed earlier on that you could tell us about?
I was much more impression driven in my audition. And, I mean, one of my impressions was I did Ja Rule. I did an impression of Ja Rule showing off his crib and cribs. And then on the other, you know, I went all the way to the other side. I did an impression of John Malkovich ordering a pizza, in which he does not want any of the extra bells and whistles. I just want a pepperoni pizza, please.
Hit him with some Morgan.
I did Morgan Freeman, of course. Yeah. Morgan Freeman. I don't remember what the context was. As sure as the black dots all over my face, I did this impression. Yeah. I was a part of this group called Boom Chicago in Amsterdam, and that's where I met Seth Meyers, Ike Barinholtz, Jason Sudeikis, some really amazing comedy performers. And we did sketch and improv there in just a slightly different format than Keegan would have been doing at the Second City. But we had one short form improv game where the audience would shout out impressions and then they would shout out locations. And we would literally just on the spot, whatever impression celebrity they gave us and location, we would have to become that celebrity in that location. And so I think in that process, I demystified the art of the impression for myself. And, you know, I think it's something that a lot of people think is magic, but it's, you know, just like anything else, you can learn to do it and get better at it.
Well, I regret to say, out of time. It's been so much fun to talk with both of you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Terry. Thank you.
Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, who star in the Comedy Central TV series Key and Peele. They'll be back with new episodes in 2014. Their visit with Terry last month was one of our favorite interviews of the year.